most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. Our show is broadcast every Sunday from 5 p.m. to 5:50 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Now, if this is your first time tuning in, our show will hopefully help you to question your career reality. Now, this show is for you if you were, are, or might be considering a career in the entertainment industry. Our guests will provide you with tips, advice, and resource information on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in show business. Our guests work in various professions of entertainment, so that means that we will definitely have someone on the show sooner or later from a career that you are interested. So you have to listen every single week, or actually you can go to my website and find out who's coming on, but yeah, let's just listen every week. It's better, so much better. Now, if you want to check out our past guests, read their bios, listen to their interview instantly, or download one of the shows, go to the LA Talk Radio website, latalkradio.com. Click on the link at the top of the website that says Channel 1. Scroll down and look for the graphic of our show, Question Reality, and click the link. And this takes you directly to our archive page where you can view the list of past guests. Now, if you're listening to the show live, you're already there. So just go to the top, click, and you'll find us. Our shows are also available for download on iTunes under the podcast section. So you just type in Question Reality Radio in the search box if you want to find us. Okay. So if you want to find out who's going to be on the show, I think we're booked till the end of May. So if you want to find out who's going to be on the show, you can go to our official website. So that's questionrealityshow.com, questionrealityshow.com. So that is the other website with all of the details about our guests for the future. The past, you're already on that website. So you click at the top. Now, we have, as always, fantastic guests today. Fantastic. I love this guy. The first time, he was referred to me by a friend of mine named Jeff Rector. And when I checked out his YouTube, his little YouTube thing, what do you call it? YouTube thing? Yeah, a little YouTube thing. I said, oh my God, that is the guy that my husband was raving about and said, you got to see this YouTube thing, for lack of a better word, YouTube thing. And we had seen him a couple months before in this. It was the coolest thing I had ever seen in my life. It was this guy doing Shakespeare in celebrity voices. And I said, Jesus, God, that is brilliant. Why didn't I think of that? Probably because I'm not well-versed in Shakespeare. That might be a clue why I didn't do it. But I thought it was the best thing I had ever seen. So, of course, I had to email it to everyone. And little did I know, a couple months later, I would be referred to Jim Meskimen via Jeff Rector. So that is the guest today. His name is Jim Meskimen. And he is currently starring in his own show called Jimpressions. Isn't that brilliant? He does impressions. And his show is Jimpressions. Brilliant, huh? Simple, but brilliant. He has this hilarious one-man show that features him performing like an infinity of celebrity voices. And if you go to this show, you can see him impersonate all of your favorite actors like George Clooney, Morgan Freeman, Paul Giamatti, Orson Welles, Colin Firth, Jack Nicholson, and a ton of others. The show is so packed. I mean, you can't even stop laughing. You got tears tears rolling out of your eyes. Your jaws are all big and puffy and swollen afterwards because you can't stop laughing. And he'll even perform the live version of his YouTube viral hit, The Shakespeare and Celebrity Voices. So that is the coolest thing ever. I mean, you see it on YouTube and then you go see him. So you're already feeling like you're at a red carpet event. Now, this show, Jimpressions, runs Fridays and Saturdays from March 3rd, which started last night, to March 24th. And that is at the Acting Center Theater, 5514 Hollywood Boulevard, of course, in Hollywood. And that's at the corner of Western and Hollywood. And if you want to find out more, go to theactingcenterla.com, theactingcenterla.com for tickets and information. So the show is only for a month, so you got to get over there. You can also check out his website about all the other things he does. He can be found at appliedsilliness.com, appliedsilliness.com. And also, go to YouTube and just type Jim Meskimen, M-E-S-K-I-M-E-N, and he is all over the place. Now, let me tell you a little bit about, a little brief bio about him. He has been a professional actor for over 25 years, and as a man on the street interview, he created hundreds of improvised testimonial TV and radio commercials for dozens of clients, from grocery chains to ATM cards, and he appeared in three Best Picture nominated films, which includes Apollo 13, There Will Be Blood, Frost Nixon, and his impressions of President George W. Bush, John Kerry, and Arnold Schwarzenegger, Bill Clinton, and others for JibJab.com, which everybody knows JibJab. I go there at least once a week. They are a global sensation and one of the biggest viral hits ever is This Land, which has been heard over, 80 million people have heard this. And he has, he was Will Smith's Western philosophy teacher on Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Remember that? I love that show. And he also did on the show, he did impressions of Jack Nicholson, William Shatner. I actually think I'm going to ask him to do his William Shatner impression today, I'm hoping. And he did The Fly. Remember from The Fly? Help me, help me. And he improvised performances on the British Whose Line Is It Anyway? Remember that show? I think it's still on. Oh, I'm not sure. I'm going to have to ask him about that. With his partner, Christopher Smith, and legendary A&D. I am not sure what that means, but we're going to have to ask him. And it was Jim as a 17-year-old actor in that famous episode of Happy Days who ran up to the beach to inform the world that there was a shark penned up offshore that Fonzie would later have to jump over on water skis, inspiring the term jumping the shark. So, my God, is there anything this man has not done? We're going to ask him directly. Jim, what the hell?
The only thing I haven't, the only thing I haven't done is your show.
Oh, hey, well, Jesus God, now your world is complete because you
now
are
I'm
here
the,
today.
I'm at the top of the mountain. I'm at the top of the mountain.
You're at the top of the mountain. There's nowhere to go but down.
That was a very kind introduction.
Well, it is so deserving. And my God, I had 15, 20 pages, but I just had to, abridge it. I had to shorten it up because it just goes on and on, Jim. And you know, I was so excited to announce you and to get started with your show that I completely forgot to do my advertisements. And I'm not going to get any money for this. But you know what? I'm going to say, Jim, I really appreciate you being on the show. I want to thank you so much. I know you're a busy guy right now. When we called you today, you were doing your audio book, which I guess is the latest thing you're working on. And I definitely want to talk about that. And I will. But I first want to start out with the question that I usually ask everyone, just because it's probably the first question that you get asked when you're at a party or you meet someone, and that is, what career did you see yourself pursuing as a child? When you were little, when little Jim Meskimen was chilling out on his little bed as a child, what did he see himself doing?
Wow, that's a really good question. I was just speaking to some young people last night that came to my show down at the Acting Center, and they're, you know, like high school. It was a high school group that came in, and they had some similar kind of questions, so I'm pretty fresh with this. And, of course, it's my life, so I remember. But actually, you know, I'm an artist also. I'm a visual artist. And so early on, I didn't really see myself being an actor. When I was 2 and 3, I was all ready to be a painter or a cartoonist. And maybe it's because I like to draw. And back then I was just drawing with a ballpoint pen on some shirt cardboards, probably. And a grown up probably came up and said, "Oh, you're an artist." You know, and I went, "Oh, that's what I am. I'm an artist."
But wow, now someone I know. Just told you what you were.
Well, I'm imagining that. I can definitely remember it. But I did have an affinity for artwork and drawing and pictures.
Now, when you found this out and it kind of appealed to your ear and you kind of dug that whole idea, what steps did you take to pursue this career dream or your career path afterwards?
My acting career, you mean?
Whatever you did first after someone said, "Well, hey, you're an artist."
Oh.
What did you do?
Well, yeah, when I was the kid in school, in elementary school, in first grade, second grade, third grade, that would sit and draw stuff, you know. But, you know, most classes have a guy like that that likes to doodle and draw on the desk, on his arm, you know, on the homework, whatever.
Yeah, and we're usually
those guys.
Bad boy. That's what we're attracted to, the bad boy. You were the bad boy artist, were you not?
I don't know about so much of a bad boy, but I was definitely the guy that liked to draw. And there were the guys that liked to draw cars and planes, and I wasn't that guy either. I was the guy that liked to draw funny characters and goofy faces and stuff like that. And so I early on became recognized by my friends and teachers as being, you know, the cartoon drawing kid. And, you know, and that was kind of nice because there weren't a lot of cartoon drawing kids. I was probably one of two in the whole school. And so I would do the illustrations for the yearbook and for the newspaper at the school. And, gee, back when I met Jeff Rector, that's what I was doing. And it wasn't until later that I realized, after observing my mother's career and seeing some plays and theater, that I also had an affinity for doing voices and acting. And I began to try to do that as well, you know, in any way that I could as a young person, you know, not professionally, but I'd be in the school plays if there was an opportunity to make a funny speech or something like that, or do a, you know, an announcement over the school PA system. God, that seemed like heaven to me.
Now, we did not, you just mentioned your mother, we did not even talk about that initially. He's talking about his mom, who is the famous, multi-talented, and beautiful, beautiful Marion Ross from Happy Days. When I was little watching that show, I used to say, "Oh God, why can't I have her as a mother? She's so much nicer than my mother." Everybody wanted your mother, Marion Ross, Richie Cunningham's mother, as their mother. Did they not? Did all of your school friends come over your house and just fantasize about your mother being their mother, or what?
Well, you know, sometimes I guess not so much though, because, you know, my schoolmates had all grown up with Marion before Happy Days, so they knew who she really was, and she was just Mrs. Meskimen to her and to them, you know. My parents were divorced when I was 8, but they still knew her as Mrs. Meskimen, the ones that came over to my house. But after the show started, they were just like, "Oh wow, you know, Marion's playing this amazing role, you know."
They probably wanted her to treat them like she treated Richie and Joni.
Well, yeah, she did treat people really nicely. She treated my friends very, very well. She always was very, very friendly and nice with them, that's for sure. Just in a different way than Marion Cunningham would be, perhaps.
What exactly does it feel like? I guess you don't know how it doesn't feel, but do you have an idea of what it feels like to grow up, be a child, and have your mother be on one of the top hit shows, and to be friends with Ron Howard and Henry Winkler and all of the people that you were surrounded with? What exactly was your life like? What went on in your world?
Well, I should first explain that, you know, prior to that happening, It was a pretty slow build-up because she was always a working actress, even when I was a little kid. She was on soap operas. She was on all the guest starred in all the cop shows of the day and all the episodic shows. She was on Brady Bunch and Ironsides and Mannix, all those, you know, shows that were big hits in the 70s. But we weren't swimming in money at all, and she was a divorced mother of two and, you know, doing a great job raising my sister and I, but it was a struggle for sure. And then once the pilot, the Happy Days pilot, was made, it was actually quite a bit of time before the show actually made it on the air. And then it was quite a bit of time, as in those days it was often, where the show actually was allowed to, you know, do moderately well, and then actually became a hit, really not until about 3 years, or 2 or 3 years of being on the air. And then it slowly gained a lot of momentum, and then it became a very big hit. And but it took that long. It was that long arc, which was probably a really good thing. So for us and for our family, you know, our experience, I've had the experience of living in a family that is pretty much struggling to pay the bills and not really having any kind of spare money around, and slowly have a little bit more comforts. And then all of a sudden, wow, you mean, you know,
super
they're paying
sharp.
You how much, you know?
Hanging out with Ron Howard or whatever you did, I can't even imagine. But that probably made it that much better for you. It's not like you were born into fame and that's all you knew. You got to experience both sides of the coin. So I would think that that would be a more well-rounded mental approach to your life.
Well, I hope so. Of course, you don't have a choice on what you're handed, and that's what I was handed. And I do consider myself pretty lucky because Mom did make a really wonderful life for my sister and I, and paid for our college, and really supported us, and has always supported us too as actors and artists. So she's been very, you know, terrific influence on our lives, just absolutely priceless.
How is Mom, Miriam? How is she doing today?
Mom is great. She is working. She's just getting ready to go do a play up in Toronto. She's going to be doing a Neil Simon play up there. I think it's Brighton Beach Memoirs.
Oh,
or maybe it's,
well, I
it's
love
Yonkers,
that.
Anyway.
What theater?
You know, I can't remember. I'm sorry.
Oh,
I don't know that. I should know that.
Your mother is going to get you now. That's a free.
Yeah, I know. I have to have that data to hand. You're right. But she's very healthy. She's doing very well. She's 83, but she looks much, much younger, and she's doing quite well and getting ready to do a lot of work.
God bless her. She is one of what I consider the golden girls. You know, she and Betty White. Betty White is one of my idols. I mean, to have a career like Betty White, everybody, you ask people, oh, who's your idol? And they say, oh, this one and that one, which are, you know, the A-list celebrities. And I immediately go, Betty White. Because this woman, to have a career and to be working in your 80s, I mean, who the hell want to do that? My God. Okay, let's go back to you were briefly speaking about your days in school. Now, what is your viewpoint on having a college education in a different career field, like sort of a backup plan if you are pursuing a career in the entertainment industry, specifically the career of an impression or a comedian? How important do you feel that is?
Well, you know, I think you really have to take it on a case-by-case basis, depending on the individual. In my case, I went to college, but I went to college because everybody went to college.
Right.
And I never even considered not going to college. But these days, I don't know that you're really, if it really does you all that much good in the arts. I have a daughter who's 21, and we didn't encourage her to go to college because she's an artist, and I honestly didn't feel that it would do her so much good. I thought it would be better if she just got out into the world and started creating things. Because the thing about the colleges and the schools is what I ran into was that you could spin your wheels there a long time, and you might run into quite a few teachers that were in one way or another, some kind of failed artist of one kind or another that was sort of had to backtrack and become a teacher. And then you kind of absorb their, you know, anxiety about what they missed out on. And I don't know. It seems to be in the field of the arts. It's intensely personal and intensely self-determined. So, you know, there are things, obviously, to learn about technical things and materials, and it's good to learn how to write, and it's good to learn how to master language and to master people skills. Whether the university or the college is the best place to master those things, I don't know. I found that I learned a lot just by going to New York when I was 22 and entering the workforce and looking for jobs and opportunities. And I felt like that was intensely practical, whereas a lot of the stuff I learned in college I had discarded.
Well,
so,
I think you're every child. You're like the perfect parent. Well, you want to go to college? Great. If not, get out there and get right into it. So that's a dream. You're like the dream parent telling the child that. Sure. But every parent that's listening to this saying, damn him, damn him.
Think of the money he'll save, folks.
Exactly. That's a good point. Now, if you had to give five characteristic traits, what would you say it takes to be a successful impressionist or comedian? Because you got to have – there are some people, no matter what you want to do – well, I think this applies to any job. You have to have – and I stress this so much to people. Just because you want to do something for a living doesn't necessarily mean you have the personality to do it. You know, if you're a mortician, but your dream is to be a car salesman, not going to happen. So what five characteristic traits do you think it takes to be a successful impressionist or comedian?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, I don't know. I haven't got it organized into five, but you can stop me when I hit five.
All right.
I think, first of all, personal interest is very high. You have to be really personally involved and interested in whatever you're pursuing. And that's true of anything, right? Like a guy will sit down and he will play guitar for 6 hours. Nobody can make you do that. You know, you have to be interested. And so that strong interest is very important. Persistence, obviously, I'm sure lots of people have mentioned that one. And that's the one that I heard most often when I was wandering around New York and talking to character actors I saw on the street. And I said, hey, you know, what's the key here? And they said, persistence. And I was like, oh, okay, good. And then I thought I knew what persistence was. Now I do. 30 years later, I really understand. You know, you got to be willing to just go in there for the long haul and keep slugging because it's going to be quite, you know, they're going to be real, you know, depressing lulls sometimes when nothing's happening. And you've got to keep going at that point and not give up. So that's important, persistence. I would say honesty. You know, it's easy to say, but it's an important factor. You know, you've got to be able to pursue your career honestly and work with people with a framework of honesty. And by that, I just mean, you know, be truthful with people and let them be truthful with you and not try to shortcut your way up the ladder. You know what you can do and know what you're responsible for doing. And treat people with truthfulness and honesty. And that way you'll attract around you people that respect that.
That's right.
And you want that because in the case of Ron Howard, for example, I think he's a guy who's like that. He's very straightforward, very honest. He's not manipulative. And the people in his camp and on his team and his crews are really decent, kind of wholesome people.
Absolutely.
And, you know, that's not true of every director and every producing person. So honesty, I would say, is important. And then a willingness to work hard, because it is really, really tough. And what do I mean by work hard? Because obviously a comedian, what's a comedian doing? Is he lifting anything? He's lifting his cup of coffee and he's lifting his pencil.
Sometimes he's lifting his whiskey glass or the cigarette, but okay.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Whatever. So it's not a lot of heavy lifting, but it is in the sense of you have to sit down and make the writing happen and make the practice happen and make the waiting around to do the gig and waiting, you know, over at the Laugh Factory for them to watch your 2 minutes audition. And that's the hard work. I mean, it's enervating. In other words, it makes you feel weak and you have to push yourself to do it. But that is the labor involved in one of these more aesthetic challenges. And gosh, that's really, really key. You have to be willing to work hard. And, you know, like in my case, I've been doing one-man shows for 25 years or so, where I have to promote the show. I've got to figure out what kind of music to play. I've got to get friends to help me. I've got to fill the house. I've got to rehearse the thing. I've got to perform it. I've got to perform it to the best of my ability, even if I'm tired or have a little bit of a cold or whatever, what have you. And that's hard work. That's my field. That's what hard work is. I'm not a coal miner, but I am, a guy that has to go on stage, and maybe a coal miner would think what I do is pretty hard.
But what you do is, a lot of people don't realize that sometimes what you do is so mentally exhausting, and the mental challenges that you have to face, but it equals physical challenge, because you have to draw strength from the very core of your being to always be up, up, up. You're an entertainer. You have to entertain. People are not coming to you for you to be depressed and talking about how bad your life is. So you have to have that social persona, and that is really exhausting. And people who are not in entertainment do not realize that.
Yeah, what you said, you raise an important point. People don't come to hear you sound like you're depressed and neurotic unless you're doing Woody Allen.
Exactly.
In that case, you definitely want to sound like you're the most put-upon individual on the planet.
Ah! He just did an impression, everyone! He just did Woody! Woo! I loved it! Yeah, it's true. And the mental and physical have to always be aligned. I mean, even if you're sick, you got to go out there and perform in front of people. And it's not like you, for example, if you're a secretary or if you work, do an office job, if you don't feel well, you call in, you stay home, you don't have to perform. But with entertainment, if you've got something booked, you got to get out there and you got to work your ass off.
Yeah, it's true. And, with the vocal stuff too, like a singer, you have to really take care of your voice and make sure that you can actually perform, like in my case, a wide range. I do everyone from Morgan Freeman
up to Butterfly McQueen.
I've got to make sure that I can hit all this range,
Yeah, back to back. Now, where's my Shatner? Where's my William Shatner?
Well, William Shatner, Priscilla, give me a moment to sort of collect myself and give you William Shatner as you so richly deserve. This is the old William Shatner, the Shatner for the Star Trek days. Days before, when special effects weren't done with computers. No. Special effects were done with a guy holding a piece of fishing line with a bad model of the Enterprise at the end of it.
Oh, my God. It was like I was just talking to Bill himself. Now, where's my Arnold? Give me my Arnold Schwarzenegger. Love
I'll
my
give you, of course. I'm not withholding your Arnold. My gosh, it's here, of course, waiting for you, Priscilla. All you have to do is... You don't even have to fill out a form like in Sacramento. In California, you have to do so much paperwork.
Now, I'm just going to ask you a question, and then you obviously are going to know who this is. Now, did you have sex with that woman?
I did not have sex with that woman. Not that woman. There were another three ladies that were with that woman. But that's all I'm going to say.
You are so good. And see, to be
Thank
able
you.
To do that. Oh, was that Elvis? That was Elvis, wasn't
it? No,
it
wasn't Elvis. It was dead. How you doing? I happened to come in on the conversation. All we presidents, we all hang out together in the same club.
Oh, my God. You sound just like him. I'm freaking out right now. I did not vote for you. I did not vote for you.
That's all right, because, when we tallied the vote, we use that fuzzy math.
Oh, now what about Colin Firth from the King's Speech?
I'm the King's Speech, yes, Colin Firth from the King's Speech. You'll forgive me if I'm a bit halting in my presentation, but I'm not used to speaking to so many people over a cell phone.
My God. Jack Nicholson?
Well, you have to decide whether you want the young Jack Nicholson like this from the Easy Rider days or One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, or if you want the current Jack Nicholson, who's a little more laid back, a little more diplomatic. It's one from column A and one from column J.
I like old Jack. Old Jack just sounds more dominant. I like old Jack.
Yeah, there's a lot to love about old Jack. He's really an icon.
of some kind of very expansive antagonism. But,
do they make you say last thing? Do they make you say I'm here? What is it when he cut through young?
Here's Johnny.
Here's Johnny.
I love it. And you know what we're going to do right now, everyone? We have a treat for you. We have a clip of one of Jim's shows. Correct me if I'm wrong. The Sydney show, when you were performing in Sydney, Australia. And Do you want to give us like just a little intro to that? And then we're going to play that clip from your show.
Yeah, sure. Well, this is my show in Sydney. I went to down there for some other work. And it turned out that some of my videos were very popular down there in Sydney. So the Sydney Today Show invited me to be on, and I decided to throw on another performance at a place called the Seymour Centre, and I launched this whole show, and sold out right away, so it was very gratifying, and the audience was very warm, and partially that was because there was no air conditioning for the summer down there in November, but I believe this is a section from that show, and I forget which one it is, but it's one of the funny bits.
All right. And with that, we are going to play a little clip from his show in Sydney, Australia. Here's Jim Maskman. Ronan, hit that mark, baby.
This is an evening. It's all about the voice. It's all about the sounds that you can make, the interesting things that the voice can do.
Things like that. And we might as well start with Robin Williams. I mean, why not? You know, he's so, gets to the point so quickly. Thank you. I'm so grateful, too. Oh, it's the best person to express gratitude. It's so heartfelt. Thank you.
And Robin Williams is a great person to start with because he is sort of, he's the hub for this show really for a reason, because you can, he's an impersonator himself. You can get to any character from him. He's like an entry-level drug. You can just, for example, you can go right over here and Robin Williams turns into James Mason.
You know the great James Mason from films? I don't know if he's American or not. He was certainly in a lot of American films. Even if you don't remember James Mason that specifically, you can certainly appreciate that this is a very strange way of talking. Very dark, very troubled character. Always played this sort of troubled leading man, and you always knew something terrible was going to happen to it.
In fact, I saw somebody made up a wonderful list which of James Mason and the films he did, and right next to it, how he died in each one. Horrible ways that he died. Because he's sort of similar, I'm going to have Orson Welles recite that list for you.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Orson Welles. I'd like to recite the many ways that the fine actor James Mason perished in his many fine films. Died of a heart attack while boating. Walked into the ocean and drowned himself. Shot in the beginning of the picture during a bank robbery and slowly bled to death. Squeezed to death by a giant squid. Kicked down a flight of stairs. Electrocuted. Smothered. Eaten by wolves. Eaten by an anaconda. Eaten by a group of particularly emaciated cannibals. Kicked down a flight of stairs again, part two. Pushed out of a moving plane. Pushed out of a moving train. Pushed out of a hot air balloon. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, I'm reading off the wrong list. This is the shot list for the next Jackass movie.
Fantastic! Woo! Woo! Wow!
Are you being pursued by an anaconda? You're shrieking there.
Woo! Yeah! Wow! That is fantastic. Now, that is so exciting. I mean, I can't even imagine going in front of a bunch of people and actually making the whole entire room laugh. That is like the greatest gift that a person can have, the gift of laughter to someone else. And you are so blessed to be able to do that. I can't even tell you. I mean, you know you're blessed to be able to do that.
Thank you.
Not everybody can do it. You live a wonderful life. And I know that you get to do things that mere mortals can only dream of. But my question is, what are the trials and tribulations or the ups and downs of being an impressionist or a comedian? Because we hear that and we go, wow, he's so lucky. He's so lucky. He gets to make people laugh and he travels all over the world and he hangs out with all the celebrities and wow, I wish I could be him. But what, give us the scoop. What are these trials and tribulations? Because it's not always the up. Tell us about it, because people need to have that.
In my case, you know, actually, it is always the up. I'm always hanging around with famous and beautiful people. I'm always in exotic locations, wearing the best clothes and eating the finest food. So I understand conceptually what you're saying, but, of course. I think that the most challenging thing about acting in any field of the arts, is the natural ebb and flow of things. Because it's just like, in the microcosm of a show, you know, there is the beginning of the show, the middle of the show when everything's going well, the end of the show hits some kind of a high point, and then the applause ends and you are now just kind of adrift until the next show. And that's true on the larger scope of a career. You know, you start off, and sometimes when you're younger and you're just beginning, everybody makes a big fuss over you and there's so much excitement, and then you're around for a while and you're sort of established at a certain level, and it's kind of like, oh, yeah, I know, we know about you. You're great. And then, but the phone doesn't ring. And so then you have to go, okay, I don't understand this. Everybody loves me. They think I'm great. I've pleased people before. But why am I sitting at home tonight? Or why am I, you know, struggling to make my car payment or something very pedestrian like that? And it's because you have to create the career all the time. And if you don't have a huge machine behind you that is constantly pumping out advertising, like if you're Madonna, you don't really have to worry about creating your career every day. There's a machine literally of hundreds or maybe even thousands of people that are out there pimping you, for what lack of a better word, 24/7. And because they depend on the money too. When you're an actor who's just a solo guy, or you don't have that many people on your team, you know, you have to make sure that you create it every day in some way. And that's why I started doing those YouTube videos that you were so kind about. Because, you know, not too much was happening. And I realized, well, if I'm an actor and an artist and nobody's put me in front of a camera, I have a camera.
That's
I will
right.
put myself in front of the camera,
That's
and
right.
I will be entertaining, and maybe some people will watch it. And I was very gratified when, you know, 750,000 people decided that they liked that Shakespeare one. But, you know, my point is that there are ups and downs for sure, and they can be extremely toxic if you don't recognize that you're the one who's responsible. It's not that the audience doesn't like you sometimes. It's not that you're not good enough. It's not that, you know, it may not be anything negative at all, other than, you know, there's something shinier off in the other direction and people are attracted to that. So you've got to, at that point, pick yourself up, and easy for me to say, but you've got to actually create your career. You've got to write new material. You've got to try new things. You've got to reach in different directions. That's why I went to Australia, because I knew that a lot of people had seen my YouTube video and that I had some fame over there, totally out of the blue. So there was an opportunity to go to Australia, and I didn't say no, that's a long way to go and it's going to cost me money. I said, yeah, I'll go. I'll go check them out and see what it was. And you know, it had a real happy ending because people were very, very warm, as you can hear on that recording. They're just having a great time and laughing.
Very, very hard. Very, very happy audience, it sounded like to me. Yes, you do. You have to constantly, what Jim is talking about is you have to constantly reinvent yourself, reinvent your career. Constant, like Madonna, as a matter of fact, you were just speaking of Madonna. We had her guitarist, Monty Pittman, on last week. He's been with Madonna since 2001. He was working at Guitar Center. He discovered he's not a salesman, so he started giving guitar lessons, and Guy Ritchie just happened to have bought a guitar from Madonna and went to him to get lessons, and then he ended up giving lessons to Madonna. They hit it off, and he was telling the story last week on my show about that, and we were talking about how Madonna constantly reinvents herself. I mean, she has gone from like a virgin in the 80s, one of my favorite songs, all the way to now. She's done rap, what music hasn't she done? She's explored everything. And that's the same thing Jim's talking about. You have to constantly reinvent your career, find out what is currently relevant, and to go with it. Now, Jim, what do you feel is the most important thing to learn about the business side of being a comedian or an impressionist? Because it's fine, the jokes are great and everything, but you as a person, you're an entrepreneur, and you have to take care of business. And a lot of people just want to do the art and they don't want to worry about the business side. But if you don't take care of the business side, you're not going to get any money because you're not doing it right. Yes. What do you think is the most important thing to talk about the business side?
Well, I'm not sure what the most important part of it is, but just that aspect, what you mentioned there, is very true. It is a business, and I'm sure your listeners have heard this before, you know, show business. It's a business. And you have to treat it like a business. And there are all these different divisions to any business. One of them, for sure, is production, you know, which has to do with performing and creativity. But then there's also, you know, the finance division. There's the, you know, what do you call the outreach division, or advertising and promotion and public relations. You know, those are all important factors. It's like a machine, and if you have an engine that is missing some parts, it's going to burn out. You know, it might do very well when you're rolling downhill, but if you need a radiator and you don't have it, so you got to figure out all these parts. And in my case, I'm not an expert certainly in all of them, but I have, you know, I'm learning all the time, and I try not to shirk it. My wife is very helpful, and she helps me take care of the financial ends, and we have business managers that help collect the money and stuff like that. I mostly concentrate from an executive point of view, like, well, where are we going? You know, what is the big dream for this company and this product? So that's an important function. Then I think about production, you know, what can I write? What can I create? What voices can I, you know, get together and present in such and such a way? And then there's the promotion and PR, which is very important, where you figure out new ways to attract attention. And every week, you know, this is something I find is a weak point in a lot of artists in general, is they go, well, I don't want to be the guy that, you know, has to promote and write things and you know, do advertising for myself. I don't feel comfortable doing that. Well, I think you've got to either get comfortable with it and get uncomfortable with, you know, being sort of unknown, or you've got to find people that are very comfortable with it, because it's a very necessary thing. When you think about how often some companies promote to you through a variety of channels, you realize there's a lot of ways that people are shouting at you about their products and services, like Coca-Cola, for example, or Pepsi. I have no preference. I dislike them equally. But they are yelling at us all day long on billboards and product advertisements and sports, you know, endorsements and, you know, pop figure endorsements and magazines and billboards and, you know, they're just shouting and shouting and shouting about it. And we've got thousands of people that are just yelling at the top of their lungs about how great this sugar water is. Well, great. I mean, we have to think in those terms and that kind of magnitude. And you'll see with the successful people that you admire, the great comics, the great actors and comedians, that they, you know, you hear about them a lot. You hear about them in a variety of ways. It's not just their act. You hear about them in magazine articles and newspaper articles and TV and radio interviews and internet blogs, and you hear about them sometimes in product endorsements and just little references. Well, those references usually come about because somebody is pushing this message and pushing that person. And at the beginning, and when things are slow, you're doing it yourself, and you have to be willing to reach in that way.
That is absolutely true. And we can all hope that we get to a point where we have Coca-Cola or Pepsi coming to us saying, we want you, just like Uncle Sam did. So we hope that's something. that we definitely want. Now, we are almost out of time. We got about 5 minutes, and I want to do one question. It's kind of a long email, but I found it out of all the emails that you got today, and I'm so sorry, everybody, I didn't get to all your emails, but hopefully we can beg Jim to come on the show next year, or maybe a little later on the year. We don't know. What he's so busy, but we can get to your question. So I want to ask, this is from a girl, and I just was so touched by this email. It's a little long, but it's very, very important to read the whole thing. It comes from Sarah from a place, God bless her, Tag Flats, Oklahoma. I have never even heard of it. Sarah, I feel for you being in Tag Flats. But she says, dear Jim, I am a female and a senior in high school, live in a small town, have parents who want me to go to college and don't know what to do. My dream is to become an impressionist and comedian, but my parents lose their mind at the mention of it, and it has caused a lot of tension and arguments in the family. Everyone swoops down on me at every opportunity to tell me what a bad idea it is and that I won't make it. And if I move to New York or LA, I will end up homeless or dead. They only think that these are the two possible options, of course. I have to do something fast because I graduate soon, and they are going to personally escort me to the community college and enroll me. Oh, Jesus. And most likely follow me every day to make sure that I go. What can I do? Sarah from Tag Flats, Oklahoma. Thank you so much for the question. Jim?
Wow. Well, that, I think I would be doing disservice to that question by giving you a brief answer, but there's obviously several factors at work there. Obviously you shouldn't give up on your dream, because if you really love it, you need to keep pursuing it. Here's what I thought of the many things that I could advise to you. Your family relationship, you're going to have to work out. I don't really have any quick advice on that. That takes some sitting down and really hashing out. But there's someone that had a similar kind of experience that you might be able to get some benefit from, and luckily she's written a book. And that person is Nancy Cartwright. Nancy Cartwright is one of the most successful animation voices in history. She's the voice of Bart Simpson and many other characters. She started off in Ohio and was just a girl with a dream like you have. She wrote a book called My Life as a 10-Year-Old Boy, and I'm pretty certain in that book she lays out the sort of barriers and things that she had to do to get to where she is today. That's a kind of a short answer, but, you know, your question is quite serious, and I don't want to give it short shrift. I would say take a look at that book and see if Nancy doesn't have some advice for you. And you can always contact me through my YouTube channel and send me a note. I'd be happy to talk to you more about it.
Thank you, Jim. That's the most serious I've seen you today. I think you're a little choked up.
I felt sorry for her because I had the luck of having a mother that said, oh, sure, go do that play. Or, oh, you want to be a cartoonist? Great, let me help you. You know, so.
I know, and poor Sarah, I'm feeling a little verklempt right now. I'm just feeling a little sad. Did I bring the whole show down by talking about poor Sarah? Oh, Sarah, we love you. You know, call, go to, where can she email you if she, I mean, not that she's going to, I mean, but just in case she wants to, can she go to AppliedSilliness.com?
You can go to AppliedSilliness.com and contact me there or through my YouTube channel. Yeah, no problem. Anybody can.
Jim is available.
In fact, anyone in the sound of my voice, what I want you to do is get up and go to the window and say to everyone, I'm mad as hell, and I'm going to Jim Miskimmon's YouTube channel.
That's right. It's youtube.com, Jim Meskimen, JimMeskimen. And again, I want everyone to go to your show. And I don't know if you want to offer any deals, but if you go to see Jim Meskimen again, he's in Jimpressions. It's a hilarious one-man show that features him performing an infinity of celebrity voices. You heard a sample today. He also will go over the Shakespeare in Celebrity Voices that has become a YouTube sensation. Again, it's on Friday. So you had your first show last night, Friday.
Yeah,
it's
last, uh, we did Friday and Saturday. It was all sold out last night. A lot of fun.
And I did my George Clooney impression, which people like very much. And I'm always grateful that they like it.
Oh, that sounds sexy. Now, I've already got you pictured as Jim Clooney now. No, George Clooney. Now I'm calling you Jim Clooney. I like that, too. Now, your show's going to be March 3rd to March 24th at the Acting Center, and that is
fun. That's right, Fridays and Saturdays.
Friday,
Hollywood and Western.
Hollywood and Western. And if you go there and you tell them that you heard about the show on my show, Question Reality, maybe Jim will give you a free autograph on a – what do you have CDs there of your work? What do you have anything to go?
I do have DVDs. I do have DVDs for sale. Yeah, people
okay,
can come.
Okay, so maybe if they come and they say, oh, I heard about you on Question Reality, maybe you could sign their DVD, give them a little thrill.
You betcha. You betcha. Okay. Absolutely.
Jim,
take pictures. I'll go to your car. I'll clean it.
And there's nothing Jim won't do for you. Jim, you have been so wonderful. I really appreciate you coming on the show. God bless your little heart and soul. I am going to get over there to the Acting Center and see your show before March 24th, Friday and Saturday nights. Oh, what time? We didn't even say a time.
8 p.m. sharp.
8 p.m.
sharp. Yeah, if you go to the website and get your tickets in advance, you'll get a discount. And there's free parking, which in L.A. is, never been done before.
Unheard of.
So, I welcome you to come.
The website is theactingcenterla.com, theactingcenterla.com. Real quick, I want to do a shout-out to an old classmate of mine, Kim Borges Schofield from my old high school. She's listening today, and I thank you so much. Hopefully, you'll listen every week. I hope I pronounced your name right, Kim Borges Schofield or Kim Borges Schofield. I'm not sure, but God bless you. Thank you so much for listening. And Jim, we hope you come back. We loved you having you. You gave the best advice ever. And I can't even tell you. I can't even tell you how much. I hope that you come back for the rest of the emails. Can we invite you back for next year?
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you for your very gracious introduction and all that. It was really, really nice the way you did it.
Well, say goodbye to your fans in any voice that you want to say. I'm going to say goodbye, and now Jim's going to say goodbye until next week. Go ahead. Take us out, Jim.
Well, I guess I should, since we don't have much time left, I should speak like Robin Williams, because he can get to the point so quickly. He can speak that way in a nanosecond. It's fantastic. He can express everything, or a nanosecond. Anyway, thanks so much. Please come see the show. Watch my YouTube videos. And please, lead a creative, fun-filled life, won't you? I'll be watching.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.